stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 9. Of course, Paul is writing through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. It's come down to the end of his days. As a matter of fact, Paul's life is just about over. He said in verse number 7, I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. So we realize his course was done. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So I think about that. The thing that laid in store for Paul is the same thing that lays in store for us, those of us that know the Lord. But I want us to look, begin in verse number 9. He writes to Timothy and he says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Antiochus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom thou beware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At first no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for your word. And Lord, these next few moments that we have, I pray would be beneficial to all of us, that we'd be encouraged and helped and strengthened by thy word. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to understand that you're with us everywhere we go, always by our side. And Lord, we just need to continue the work that you've placed us here to do. We'll thank you and we'll praise you. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Be seated. We find Paul at the end of his days. Certainly, his life is coming to a close. And we think about how he could be so discouraged to think about his life being at an end and some of the things that he announces here. And I think about the lives of a lot of people, a lot of Christians, if you will, a lot of believers, and how discouragement seems to be set in upon a lot of people's lives. I talk to people and they're so discouraged and so defeated. And I realize that we're living in a day where there's lots of pressures in this world, a whole lot of pressure. I know of spouses that are married, you know, and one spouse is saved, one spouse is not, one spouse is right with the Lord, one is not. I know of children that are straying and they're leaving, and it's so easy to get discouraged, isn't it? It's so easy just to say, oh, I just want to throw in the towel. I'm tired of fighting the fight. But we need to be like the Apostle Paul. We need to be able to come to the end of our day and to be able to say, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. And I tell you, there's a reward for those that continue in the faith. Now, there's a lot of people going to make it to heaven without rewards. There's a lot of people that's going to get there, if so, by fire, if you will. All the works are going to be burned up. And I want you to understand that it is just as important to finish well. As a matter of fact, I believe it's more important to finish well as it is to start well. And there's a lot of people that start out like a ball of fire, but then their course just seems to flutter and fizzle and fall away, you know? How many do we know tonight that said, yes, God's called me to preach, and boy, they were on fire for God, and now they're no longer in the ministry. Never really did anything towards the ministry. They just got caught up in some kind of a, sometimes I believe it's in an emotional thing, or sometimes the church is known for having preachers called out of that church, and boy, they just start to, like flies, they start jumping up. God's called me to preach, God's called me to preach. I'm going to tell you, there's a seriousness to the calling of preaching. Amen. It's not just something you just stand up and say, God's called me to preach. I'm telling you, I wouldn't do it if God didn't call me. I've told people before, they say, do you ever tell anybody to run? I've had people say, what do you do? Well, if I think God's called me to preach, I said, well, just don't do it. They said, what do you mean? I said, here's how I dealt with it. God made sure, I wanted to make sure, so I just avoided that call for just a little while. And then it got all over me, and I couldn't stand it. And I knew I had to preach, you know? When God puts the preach in you, it's there. You know, you can't run from it. You can't get away from it. I'd go to bed at night dreaming about preaching. I'd be out mowing the lawn dreaming about preaching. Man, you want to talk about some good sermons when you're driving the lawnmower and you're mowing that grass and you're really cutting it. I'm telling you, that's good preaching, you know. How's the preacher? And that was all them people. And if they weren't doing it right, I just cut them off, you know. It's great. But you know, we know a lot of people that say, boy, I'm going to get in this thing. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to give my life to God. I'm going to give my life to the work of the church. And where are they? A lot of them are in church, but you know what they've done? They've left some churches and they went to other churches that are so large and they've just gotten lost in the crowd. And they're not doing anything for God. I want to preach on this thought tonight. Keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. I think that's what we need in Christian lives sometimes. We need some perseverance, don't we? We need some Christians that's just going to stand and going to say, I'm going to do what God wants me to do, and I'm not going to back down, and I'm not going to let the pressures of the world throw me down, and I'm not going to let the devil defeat me, because I'm going to follow the Lord, and I'm going to do what it is God wants me to do. When I think of Paul, that's what I think of. I think about his life. I remember what he was like when his name was Saul. I remember how that he held the coat of all of those that were over there stoning Stephen. And he was agreeing to them stoning Stephen. And he was holding the coat. But I want to tell you what happened that day. He saw the testimony of a man named Stephen, and he never got over it. He saw a man that at his dying day was giving glory to Almighty God. And I tell you, dear friends, that day on the Damascus Road, when Saul met the Savior, I have no doubt that he went back to that moment when Stephen said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. I think he goes back to that moment when he hears Stephen, when he says, don't put this on their account. Lay it not to their charge. That day he met the Lord Jesus Christ. And he began a journey for Jesus. And I want to tell you what he did. He just kept on going. In spite of the adversities, in spite of the difficulties, in spite of all that had happened, he just kept on serving God. You think there weren't times of discouragement? I'm sure there were. But we read his letters from prison. And every time I read these letters as he's writing from prison, all I see is he's encouraged about what God's doing. And he says, the reason I'm here is because God's put me here so that I can tell others about him. And there's things that go on in our life we don't understand. But we need to look at the lives of great people and the great believers. Paul writes to Timothy. Here in this passage of Scripture, Timothy, of course, is his son in the ministry, somebody he really loved, and they were like-minded. It's the only time I really see Paul saying something about someone else being like him, like-minded as him. It was about Timothy. And he writes to Timothy, and he says, bring my cloak and my books, but he says, especially the parchments. That's the Scriptures. You know, to the day that Paul died, the Scriptures were so important in his life. They meant so much to him. Paul could have been discouraged. Paul could have been defeated. Paul could have been disheartened. But instead, Paul declares, I'm going to serve the one that died for me until the day that I die. In spite of all that's going on, I'm just going to keep on keeping on. He was giving his testimony to Timothy. He says, come before winter. Bring me the cloak. Bring me something warm. Bring me the books, but especially bring me the parchments. I can't live without them. Did Timothy ever make it? Don't know. I don't see that he did, do you? It doesn't tell us anywhere. What a way to exit. What a way to go out. I can imagine the moment that Paul, I can imagine what his last breath was like in this world and his first breath was like in heaven. Can you imagine the entrance into heaven for Paul? I get excited when I think about it. And then I get discouraged when I think about what my entrance to heaven is going to be like. It's not going to be like Paul. Oh, the Lord Jesus is looking forward to me being with Him. I don't want you to misunderstand me. He loves me. Look, if you don't love me, it doesn't matter. I have one I know that will always love me. He loves me and He's looking forward to that. But I won't have that grand entrance like Paul had. I believe Paul's the greatest Christian ever walk on the face of the earth outside of Christ Himself. But Christ was the Christ one, wasn't He? We don't compare in that sense. But we see that our orchestra forgets to put that thing on an angle. And when they don't put it on an angle, then books fall while I'm preaching. And everybody's attention goes from me over to there. And they're thinking, what's going on? So, let's see, I'll go over there and find out who it was, and then we'll behead them after the service tonight. I know who I hope it was. No, I'm just kidding. Paul lived his life. Boy, he had a lot of things, didn't he? A lot of adversity, a lot of difficulties. And he's come down to the end of his days, and he's writing to Timothy, and he says these things: I am ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. But he says, come to me. Do thy diligence. In other words, do what you can, but make a way to get to me, Timothy. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, because others have turned their back on me, others have left me. But I'm just going to keep on keeping on. And I want to give you three thoughts tonight about keep on keeping on. We're to keep on keeping on, though forsaken by men. Though forsaken by men. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Then it says Crescens to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Does that mean that these others have forsaken him? He didn't put it in that way or in that context. But we know that Demas hath forsaken me. But I want you to notice what he said in verse number 16. He said, at first no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. In other words, I felt as though I were standing alone here in this world. I felt as though everybody had turned their back on me, but I want you to know I just kept on doing what it is God wanted me to do. And boy, if we'll get that mindset in our lives, that we're just going to do what God wants us to do, though forsaken by men. There are going to be people that are going to turn their backs on us when we sell out to Jesus. You might as well write it down. When you start having that consecrated, holy walk with God, there are going to be people that do not understand what's going on in your life. And by the way, it can come from different crowds of people. I want you to notice with me what the Bible says in the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 4. Will you turn over there with me? 1 Peter, chapter number 4. Notice what the Bible says. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. I believe there ought to be some forsaking of sin in our lives. Amen? You know, that's not our salvation is faith in Christ. So understand that. But as we trust the Lord, there ought to be a change that's made in our lives, and we ought not be the same. But the Bible says in verse number 3, for the time past of our life, many may suffice to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excesses, excessive wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? Did you notice what the Bible says? When you put your faith in God and you turn to the Lord and you trust Him by faith, there's a difference in your life. There's a change in your life. And you don't do a lot of the things that you used to do. But when that happens, you don't run with the same people you used to run with. You shouldn't run with the same people you used to run with if they were troublemakers, right? And the Bible says that they don't understand that. And they want to know why you're not running with them. Well, I want to tell you something. You just keep on keeping on and don't worry about what those sinners think. You stand for God. Keep on keeping on. I want you to notice what the Bible says in Psalm 55. Would you turn there with me, please? Psalm 55. We're going to find another group of people. The Bible says, Psalm 55 and verse number 12. Notice what the Bible says. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. This is when it gets tough. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me, that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. You know, it's easy to run from people when they hate you, isn't it? It's easy to avoid people. Hide from those people. But it was thou. Notice what it says, verse 13. It was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. What do you think about that? We're talking about people that we once had sweet fellowship with. And then they turn their back on us. So will we just quit? Do we throw in the towel? Do we say, I can't take it any longer? No, we keep on keeping on. We keep on taking our stand for the Lord. Look, it's never easy when somebody turns their back on us, or it's hard when somebody we don't know or somebody that's not even a, what we would say a good person turns their back on us. But when it's somebody that is equal to us, somebody that we take sweet counsel together with, somebody that we have wonderful fellowship together with, and when they turn their back on us, it sure would be easy to quit, wouldn't it? But that's when we have to determine, am I doing this for man or am I doing this for the Lord? Am I serving man or am I serving God? Right? You know, when I left the convention, and by the way, I'm not one of these that stand up and black. I believe there's great churches in the Southern Baptist Convention that are doing great things. But when I left, I remember there were certain men told me certain things, and they told me that my life would be miserable. You know, you'll never preach in this town. There was a very, a man that had been in the pastorate he's been in it over 50 years now, that called and talked to me and asked me certain reasonings of things. And as I talked with him, he went from wanting me to come and be his associate pastor. He was pastor of a Southern Baptist church. And please don't misunderstand me. I'm just trying to give you an example here. And when I told him my feelings about just certain issues, he went from wanting me to do that to talking about what wrong I'm doing. You know? And he's pastored a church in my community that I had grown up in, lived all my life. He'd been in that church, I guess, since the 1950s. And he was telling me what a mistake I was making, you know? Now, here's the man that I have great respect for. And by the way, I still have respect for this man. You don't make it in the ministry that long. You know, you don't accomplish the things that have been accomplished. We just saw it differently. Well, that was hard. It was hard for me to hear some of the things that I heard. But I knew why I was doing what I was doing. And it wasn't because I was against other churches. It was just because what God put in my heart to do. And when God placed that in my heart to do, I had to make a determination. Am I doing this for God or am I doing this for man? Because there was a great position that would have been opened up to me with the promise of being a pastor of a great church that it was a well-known church. Honestly. And when man gets in the way, you start looking at that and start thinking, you know, it's a good opportunity. But I knew what God had placed in my heart to do. And I just had to keep on keeping on. I had to take my stand. Not because I was against that man, not because I was against that church, but because I knew what God put in my heart to do. And I'll tell you, dear friend, I have not regretted that decision one second. Not one second. And I'm sure y'all could give me some decisions. Y'all could tell me certain things where people have said, you're crazy for taking that stand. But we have to keep on keeping on, though forsaken by men. Notice what he said. Demas hath forsaken me. Here's somebody that was an equal to Paul, if you will, that had taken sweet counsel together, that had walked in fellowship together with Paul. And Demas turned his back on him, having loved this present world. Kind of reminds me of a lot of the things that's going on in the name of religion today. There's a lot of churches that are forsaking God because they love this present world. So what do? I look at churches and I see churches that are absolutely bursting at the seams. And then I look at how they got to be bursting at the seams. And not all of them have done it the wrong way, but I look at how much worldliness they've allowed to come in. And I begin to think, you know, it's just not worth it to me. Because the fight you're going to have to fight after all that comes in and grabs hold of the people is a whole lot more difficult than the fight you're going to have just to keep it out. Because once it gets in, you're caught in a trap. You can't get rid of it. It will eventually destroy the church. The shallowness of something will destroy a church. It'll eat away and eat away and eat away, and it's eaten up on the inside. It's just like the old tree that looked so good for so many years, but then a storm came by, and that storm blew the tree over, and the tree that looked so good on the outside, on the inside, was all rotten. You couldn't tell what was going on, but on the inside, it was getting more and more rotten as the years went by. And it wasn't until a strong storm came. I'm going to tell you something. There's going to be some strong storms come to some of these churches. And when that strong wind blows, it's going to crumble because they've left the foundation. That's not just Independent Baptist, Southern Baptist, Methodists, Presbyterians. We could go right down the line. A lot of these churches that stood true to the faith and true to the Word of God, while we have some doctrinal differences with a lot of them, they still took a strong stand for God, and somewhere along the way they decided to throw that out the door and compromise with the world. And the strong winds are blowing. That's why you see a lot of these denominations falling and faltering and going down. You don't want to know what? They didn't keep on keeping on. They didn't stand by the stuff. They didn't stick with the things of God. And Paul was giving a testimony to Timothy to keep on keeping on. Demas hath forsaken me, but I want you to know the things that were important to me years ago are still important to me. Yes, I want my cloak. Yes, I want the books. But the parchments, bring them to me, especially get them to me. The Word of God always was important to Paul. And dear friends, it ought to always be important to us. We're going to stand on the Word of God. Our church is going to be built on the Word of God. Our singing's going to be structured around the Word of God. Our preaching is going to be based. It's going to be from the Word of God. I'm telling you, everything we do needs to be from the Bible. We got to keep on keeping on, though forsaken by men. I hear people tell me all the time, you know, you've got to let down in some areas. You've got to compromise in some areas. But I don't find compromise in this book. I find the Bible says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We need to keep on keeping on, though forsaken by men. But then we need to keep on keeping on through forgiveness. If you live this life and you don't forgive those that forsake you and you don't forgive those that have done you wrong, you're going to be miserable. Miserable. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. But look what Paul said. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Isn't Paul a wonderful person? Isn't he just great? He said, these people have turned their back on me, but I'm praying that God wouldn't lay it to their charge. What a man. I think about things like this, and I think about how we have to learn to forgive others. The Bible teaches us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. So you know what the Bible teaches us to do? As Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus, he says we ought to forgive others the way that Christ has forgiven us. Oh, that's pretty hard, isn't it? You know those grudges you've held for years? You'll never go any further in your life for Christ until you learn to forgive. I'm just trying to help you. You'll never be everything that God wants you to be if you hold on to them grudges. Now, sometimes it's not so easy. And by the way, you can forgive others and they may never forgive you. You can't do anything about that other than always be kind. But you must forgive. You must forgive. Paul said, nobody stood with me. All men forsook me. And I'm praying that God won't lay it to their charge. Forgive others. I'll never forget of a story that I was told by a preacher. There was a man that had murdered another man. This man had been in prison for years. He got out of prison. In that prison, he supposedly had a change of life. You know, just saw the light. I don't know that he had ever made a profession or confession of trust in Christ. But he got out and went back to that town where he murdered the man, because that was the town that he was from. And he went to a church. And in that church, the lady that was either the organist or the pianist was the wife of the man that was murdered. And so he comes in, and people just kind of talking back and forth to each other quietly. You know how it is. You see certain people come in, you see the whispering that happens. You know, I've watched it in just about every church. The one thing I've appreciated about this church, we've had people come in that didn't always look right, you know? You understand what I'm saying? You could just tell that there were difficulties and struggles, and I don't think I've ever seen them treated wrongly. If I ever saw somebody, I think I would say something to you about it. I just don't like that, do you? But there was the whisperings going on when this man comes in and he sits down. And the service goes on, and people are wondering, what's this lady doing? You know, how's she going to handle this? And she goes through the service, and at the invitation time, the man comes down to the altar, and the lady is playing the instrument, whichever one it was that she's playing, and she gets up, and she goes over, and she bows with that fella, and she prays with him and lets him know that through the grace of God, she's forgiven him for what he did. The only way we can forgive others is through the grace of God. You say, could I? I don't know if I could do that. You know, I don't know what would happen. I can't say what I would do. But I hope through God's grace I could forgive somebody else the way that God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven me. Because if we don't do that, we're to stop. We're not going to keep on keeping on. If we can't forgive others, we can't go any further. Does that make sense? Do we understand that? Here's all these people that's turned their back on Paul, all these men. And Paul looked around and he said, all men forsook me. And I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. So we need to keep on keeping on, though forsaken by men. We need to keep on keeping on through forgiveness. But then we need to keep on keeping on because we have a friend. I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse 17. Notwithstanding. He said in verse 16, all men forsook me. But in verse 17, he said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. I love that. The world may turn their back. Our friends may turn their back. Our enemies may mock and laugh and ridicule. Our acquaintances, the people that we take sweet fellowship and sweet counsel together, may absolutely forsake us and leave our sides. Our family may kick us out. But I want you to know there's one that'll stand with you. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. There's no other friend like Jesus. Chris sang the song tonight. It's a song that I love to hear. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind and true. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cares. You think about it. That's how we can keep on keeping on. When we're living our life for the Lord, and we're doing with our life what we know that God wants us to do, and we're forsaken by men, people turn their back on us, they laugh at us, they mock us, they ridicule us, they think we're crazy. And by the way, I've had more than one person think I'm crazy. And sometimes I have to agree with them. I think I am pretty crazy. Somebody told me I was a nut one time, but I said, I'm screwed on to the right bolt. I've got a lot of crazy ideas, there's no doubt about it. I believe this book is all that we need to live our life. I believe it is the sole authority for our faith, for our practice, for our lives. I believe everything we do ought to come out of our knowledge from this book. I believe a church ought to be built upon the book. I believe every song that's sung ought to be doctrinally correct with the book. I believe every sermon that is preached ought to line up with the book. I believe every Sunday school lesson that is taught ought to be directly from the book. I just happen to believe that every family that's going to be right is going to be right because of the book. And so, we have standards, but the standards come from the book, right? We're not going to lower the standard, dear friend, because when I look at this book, I realize I have something that's high and holy and it needs to be lifted up. And so, what are we going to do? When we see the world faltering around us and we see the churches that are throwing in the towel and saying, well, let's not be so concerned with the book, let's be concerned with getting people in. I believe that if we're concerned enough with the book, we'll be concerned enough with getting people in. But we're not going to lower the standard in order to try to build the crowd. We're just going to keep on keeping on. And how do we do that? Because the world has forsaken us. By the way, I think most people, we had people that visited with us recently that said, our church is doing this and this and this and this, and we don't like it. They're not leaving their church. Their church is leaving them. You know what they're leaving? The book. They're leaving the book. They've decided that there's a better way than God's way. They decided to go to the corporate headquarters and to see how to build a corporation. Well, we're not building a corporation. We are doing what God tells us to do, and the Lord Jesus Christ is building a church. Amen. So what are we going to do? We're just going to keep on keeping on. And then how we do it? We're forsaken by others, certainly, but we have to learn to forgive. Because some of the very ones that makes fun of us and laughs and mocks at us are going to be some of the ones that's going to walk through that door when they find out what they have at their churches is shallow, it's not helping them, it's not strengthening their families, it's not strengthening their lives individually, and they're going to come through the door and they're going to say, you know, we made fun of the old time religion. We made fun of you all over here at East Sly Avenue Baptist because you still sing the old hymns. Because you still preach from that old King James Bible. Because you still have standards in your church and you still expect there to be modesty and decency and distinctive things. And we thought you were crazy. And we're going to say, that's all right. We love you and we're glad you're here. We're going to forgive them, aren't we? And through it all, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And we're going to stand with him, and he's going to stand with us. All the men forsook me, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. You know what Paul was guilty of? Doing the will of God. That's it. As he did the will of God, the world said, let's get rid of him. And he comes down to his dying days, getting ready to be beheaded. And he's still praying, Lord, forgive him. Lord, you've stood with me. I tell you what I believe. I believe that the day that Paul died was the greatest day of his life. Because you remember he said, I'm in the strait betwixt the two. He said, the world needs me here, but I desire to be there. Now, he's getting ready to be there. He'd been desiring to be with Jesus for a long time. It's not right for him to take his life, but the world took it for him, didn't they? The very instant his head was gone from his body, he was present with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he was glad he did? He was glad that he kept on keeping on. He entered into heaven because he had fought a good fight. He had finished the course. He had kept the faith. Henceforth, because of that, there was laid up for him a crown of righteousness. How you finish is important. How you finish is important. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for this time that we've had together. We thank you for your precious word. I pray that we've been encouraged tonight by what we've seen in the life of Paul.